Welcome to those that are joining us. We'll continue. We're in the middle of the third story of Sipurei Maaseis, Rabbi Nachman's stories. This story is titled Maase Mechiger, the story of the cripple. And we're well into the story. One of the main situations that we covered in the previous discussion was where the Chiger, the cripple, decided to go to the place of the 2,000 mountains to see what takes place there. And this is where he encounters a major site of the Shadim. We mentioned previously that Shadim are referred to, are mentioned in the Gemara many times. In the Gemara, in the Medrash, in the Zohar HaKadosh, Shadim are beings, living beings, that are similar to human beings in several ways. For example, they reproduce, they can take on human form, and they're similar to angels in certain way. They have powers like angels in certain ways. And we're up to a point where the cripple saw some of the things that take place in this area of the Shadim, and a situation had come up where part of the discussion revolved around one of these Shadim becoming a cloud. And the question was presented, how did this come about? What made this happen? And this is actually the part that we're up to, where one of the Shadim related, let me tell you the story, how this came to be. One time, there was a certain great Chacham, a very learned person, and the emperor of the country in which this Chacham lived in was a great Apikoros. Apikoros means one who doesn't believe in Hashem and certainly doesn't believe in the words of the rabbis. And this king, this emperor, not only was he an Apikoros, but he also convinced the people of his country to follow in his path, to be Apikorsim. And in that country, there was a Chacham. A Chacham here obviously refers to a Chacham of Kedusha, a Talmud Chacham, a great rabbi, a great tzaddik, who gathered all the members of his family, and he spoke to them, telling them, you all see that the emperor in our country is a tremendous apikoros, and he went ahead and got most of the people in the country to be apikorsim. And unfortunately, he's even affected some members of our family. They've also become apikorsim. Therefore, my suggestion is that we leave this country and we head out to the wilderness, to the midbar. Midbar can mean either desert, or midbar could mean like a forest area, in order that we'll be able to remain loyal and firm in our faith in Hashem. His family agreed with him. And at this point, this Chacham recited a name of Hashem, one of the special names of Hashem, which can be recited to allow a person to travel large distances quickly. This concept is mentioned in several places in the Torah. It discusses the concept of Kfitzas HaDerech. We have this in the case of Yaakov Avinu, where the Torah tells us that in order for him to come to a certain place where he was supposed to have a dream, Hashem performed the miracle of Kfitzas HaDerech for him, whereby he crossed a large distance that should have taken him longer in much less time. And we see this come up in several places in the written Torah. The Arizal, in the Kisvi Arizal, discusses this at length, and he explains which name of Hashem is associated with this concept of Kfitzas HaDerech, a person being able to be transported quickly from one place to another. And we find this mentioned in reference to Eliyahu HaNavi and other angels that are discussed in the Gemara in this context. Here in our story, we're told that this Chacham recited a name of Hashem, a special name of Hashem, and he was transported to a midbar, to a wilderness. The place that it brought him to, however, did not find favor in his eyes. He didn't feel that this was the right place for them. So he again recited name of Hashem and was transported to a second midbar. This also was unacceptable to him. So he did this a third time, and this time he was satisfied with the place that he had arrived at. And the midbar, the place, the wilderness that he arrived at on this third time was right next to the 2,000 mountains where these multitude of families of Shadim live. This Chacham went ahead and he made a large circle. He made a circle around where he and his family were so that no one should be able to approach them. Now, just to pause here for a moment, the point this Chacham said to his family that the reason why they wanted to leave that country was because the king was an apikoros and he had succeeded in making many of the other people there apikorosim. And this Chacham said, in order for us to remain loyal in our faith in Hashem, in our emunah in Hashem, we need to leave here. We know that the Torah refers to emunah as a circle. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, ve'emunascha svivoisecha. Your faith encircles you. Emunah, faith, is referred to as something that encircles, that surrounds a person. And it represents a fence, a protective fence that guards a person from being harmed by certain outside negative influences and forces. In this case, we see that the Chacham drew a circle around them, specifically as a protection, that no one who could harm them would be able to approach them. And now the story continues. This one of the Shadim is relating this whole story. Again, he's relating how one of the Shadim became a cloud. And he says, there is a certain tree whereby if this tree were watered properly, all the Shadim would be eliminated. They'd be wiped out completely. Therefore, the Shadim work day and night digging in the area around this tree in order to block water from being able to come there. They dig ditches so that if water would flow in that direction, it would go into the ditches, it wouldn't get to the tree. So now the question was raised, why do they have to do this? Why do they have to stand there day and night working at this? Why don't they just dig a deep ditch, you know, around this tree so that if any water would approach the area whatsoever, the water would go into the ditch and not reach the area of the tree? And the response that was given, this one of the Shadim who's relating this whole story said, the reason why they have to keep working at this day and night is because among us, among the Shadim, there are medabrim. There are those who talk a lot. And these medabrim, the term medabrim here is being used in a negative term. People that are instigators. People that look to make trouble by talking. They look to cause machloket, conflict. And these medabrim, these instigators among the Shadim, they go from one king to the other, from one leader of the Shadim to the other, and they instigate one against the other, and this causes wars to break out among us. And when a war breaks out among the Shadim, don't forget these Shadim in some ways are like angels, so it's a serious war. When a war breaks out among us, it can actually cause an earthquake. And when there's an earthquake, what happens is, even if we were to put trenches around the tree, the earthquake can destroy all of that and cause the water to reach the tree. Therefore, since this can happen at any moment, therefore the Shadim are at work day and night to block this, to prevent this. They're constantly digging. They're not satisfied with just digging one trench or one blockage over there, because they know that at any point in time, a war can break out among the Shadim, cause an earthquake, and everything get lost. So they're working all the time, constantly digging around this tree to block water from being able to reach there. And now he went on to explain that whenever a king is appointed among us, among the Shadim, all the subjects of the king perform all kinds of leitzonis in front of him. Leitzonis means jesting, a type of jesting that's harmful to others, mocking people, making fun of other people, or harming people and laughing, causing someone to trip and fall or get hurt, and using that as an excuse to laugh, to get pleasure from. So what happens is, when a new king is appointed among the Shadim, all the Shadim make leitzonis. They perform acts of leitzonis in front of this king. One laughs about and relates a story about how he harmed a certain baby, a child, and caused the child to die, and the mother that gave birth to the child is mourning and suffering over this. And the other one, another Shade, presents a different leitzonis, and so on and so forth. And when the king, who's enjoying all of this, he's taking all of this in, he's laughing at all of this mockery and jesting, when he gets really excited with happiness, he goes out with his cabinet, with his other leaders that are with him, and he tries to uproot this tree. Because this tree is like a bone in their throat. We mentioned earlier that if this tree were watered properly, there'd be nothing left of the Shadim at all. So when one of the kings of the Shadim is appointed, and they liven him up, they get him excited by making jest in front of him and everything, he takes all of this energy and joy and goes out with a group of his ministers, and he attempts to uproot the tree. Because if that tree were not there at all, the Shadim would be much better off. So the king tries, he gets himself excited, and he arouses courage inside of himself, and when he gets to the tree, when he starts getting close to the tree cries out. And then the king of the Shadim is filled with fear. Obviously, this cry is something awesome. And the king of the Shadim jumps back in fright and is prevented from being able to uproot the tree. One time, a new king was appointed among us, among the Shadim, and they performed all of this mockery in front of him, everything, and he became very happy, and he got up tremendous courage and strength in his heart, and he said, "Now I'm going to uproot that tree completely, once and for all." And he went out with his ministers, and he really got himself toughened up, and he was positive that he was going to succeed now at uprooting this tree completely. However, once again, as soon as he got close, the tree gave a tremendous scream, and the king of the Shadim was filled with fear, and he jumped back. Now he got angry, real angry at this, and he decided to make another attempt. And as he was approaching the tree again, suddenly he noticed a group of people. The group of people that he noticed was that Chacham who we mentioned earlier, who was originally from the country where the king became an apikoris and the others, and using a name of Hashem, he transported them to a wilderness that was near the 2,000 mountains where the Shadim live. Now this king of the Shadim, who had come excited and determined to uproot the tree, now suddenly he noticed this Chacham next to him with his family. So now this king of the Shadim sent some of his people to try to mess up the Chacham and his family. As soon as the family of the Chacham saw these Shadim coming towards them, they were filled with tremendous fear. However, their leader, the Chacham, this elderly Chacham who was with them, said to them, "Have no fear. It's nothing to be afraid of whatsoever." And when the Shadim came close and tried to approach them, tried to get through that circle that the Chacham had made around them, they couldn't approach whatsoever. Now this king of the Shadim sent a second group of Shadim and they also couldn't get through whatsoever. Then the king himself got really angry and decided that he's going to go himself. And he also saw that it was impossible for him to approach this Chacham and his family there. So he asked the Chacham, the king of the Shadim, asked the Chacham for permission to be allowed to enter. At this point, the Chacham responded, "Since you're asking, I will allow you to enter. However, it's not proper for a king to go alone. It's not respectful for a king to go anywhere unaccompanied. Therefore, I'm going to allow you to enter and one of your associates." And the Chacham opened an entrance for them, allowed the king to enter with one of his associates, one of his ministers, and then the Chacham closed the circle again. Now, there's a very interesting point here. This is something that's discussed in Rabbi Nizal's teachings in Likutei Moran and in other Sfarim, that whenever we talk about the Sitra Achra, whenever we talk about the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the Satan, the forces of Tuma, usually they cannot affect a person, they cannot harm the person unless the person wants them to, unless the person allows them to. They can't force a person. In the vast majority of cases, a person can never be forced to commit a sin or forced to go off the path. They can invite the person, they can offer it to the person, they can make it appear very enticing, desirable, but it's only if the person agrees willingly, then the person suddenly becomes vulnerable. The moment the person says yes, or even allows themselves to take a peek, you know, to open a door even slightly, then the person can fall hook, line, and sinker. Whereas if the person says no, period, the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, the forces of evil, the Shadim, all of these types of forces cannot force a person against their will to commit a sin. And this is a very, very important point here, that we see that this Chacham, when the leader of the Shadim wanted by force to enter, he was able to block it, to say no, period, not an option. The moment the leader of the Shadim asked for permission, implying that he was acknowledging that he cannot overpower the Chacham by force, then the Chacham was able to grant him entrance in a subdued manner, where the king of the Shadim is subdued, and at this point he could not harm, the king obviously could not do any harm to them, the king of the Shadim. Now, the king of this Shadim said to this old wise man, "How do you come to settle in our area, in our place, the place of the Shadim?" So the Chacham said to him, "Why do you say that this is your place? It's my place." So the king of the Shadim said to him, "You're not afraid of me at all?" And the Chacham said, "No, not at all." So the king of the Shadim said, "If you're not afraid, you're not afraid?" And then suddenly, this king of the Shadim, who we said they have angelic powers, suddenly extended himself, stretched himself, where he became gigantic. He reached up to the heavens, became that tall. We know the Gemara in Chagiga and in other places describes the height of an angel, that it could be hundreds of miles at times. So here, this king of the Shadim suddenly extended himself and made himself gigantic, and he wanted to swallow this Chacham. The Chacham said to him again, "Despite this performance, I'm not afraid of you at all whatsoever. However, if I want, I can make it that you'll be very afraid of me." This is what this Chacham said to the king of the Shadim. And sure enough, the Chacham went to a place, and he was mispalil a short tefillah. He said a short prayer. And suddenly, clouds gathered, tremendous large cloud, and thunder broke out, crashing thunder. And we know that thunder destroys Shadim. So what happened was all the ministers of this king of the Shadim were killed. All those ministers that had originally come with him to try to uproot the tree, they were all killed. And the only ones that were left were the king of the Shadim and the associate that was with him within this circle. So the king of the Shadim pleaded with this Chacham to stop the thunder. Chacham once again agreed and put a stop to it. Incredible coincidence. We know there's never any such thing as coincidence. I had the privilege this Shabbos of being in shul in the morning in a minyan after I had completed the davening in the morning tefillah, and I was looking in Likutei Halachos to prepare something for a shiur in the afternoon. And I came across a discussion that's exactly a commentary on what we're learning here right now, whereby Rav Nosson Zalveyer discusses the fact that the Gemara relates that when Hashem first created the world, He declared the opening words in the Torah are, in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. Originally there was darkness, and the Torah goes on to declare, to document in tremendous detail exactly how and when Hashem created everything. So the Gemara asks a question, why did the Torah have to begin with this? The Torah, after all, is a book of laws, teachings. Why didn't it simply begin from the first mitzvah? And the Gemara says, because kavyachol Hashem was concerned that there would come a time when the nations of the Goyim, the secular nations, would come to the Jewish people with a complaint regarding the Jews inhabiting the land of Israel, the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim would say, what are you doing here? We were here first. The land of Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. And therefore, Hashem wrote on page 1 in the Torah, I created heaven and earth. If I created heaven and earth, then it belongs to me. Everything is mine. And I have the right to give it to whomever I want for as long as I want. And when I choose to take it out of that person's possession and give it to someone else, I have that right and authority completely. And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain there that Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah. The Torah is referred to in many places as our protector. It's a shmira, it protects a person. So long as a person is attached to the Torah, a person who is studying Torah whenever they possibly can, and observing all the mitzvahs of the Torah properly, for such a person the Torah serves as a protection to protect them from anything and everything, whether it be alienations, whether it be shadim, any type of opposing force, the Torah can be a shield and a protection for the person. However, we know that it's almost impossible for a human being to be plugged into the Torah 24 hours a day. A person has to take a break. Number one, the most learned person, the most dedicated and loyal Talmud Chacham has to break. And certainly, ordinary people, people that are working people, some of them are lucky if they're able to devote 3-4 hours a day to the study of Torah. And for some of them, it might be 1 hour a day, and for some of them, not even that. So that being the case, where is their protection? Where does their protection come from? And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain there, showing from Likutei Moran and other sources, that this is why the Gemara says that Hashem wrote on page 1 of the Torah that Hashem created heaven and earth. So long as a person's faith is impeccable, so long as a person believes 100% that everything belongs to Hashem, and they show that. How do they show that? Whenever they do anything, they mention the name of Hashem first. The person is about to eat a fruit that they bought with their own money in the store, and they carried it home and they put it into their house in my refrigerator. It's mine, 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 mine. But before I put that fruit in my mouth, I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you, Hashem, the King of the world, who created this fruit. The moment I say that, I'm showing that I acknowledge that there's a creator and Hashem created everything. Everything belongs to him. The moment I do that, I'm back under that protection. That person has a similar type of protection to one who is dovuk, to one who is solidly bound to the Torah. So that this is an alternative manner. There's two ways that a person is bound to Hashem. One way is directly through the study of Torah and observance of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The second way is during those times that a person can't study Torah, or for those people whom the majority of their time is not occupied by the study of Torah, even by them, so long as there is solid faith and recognition and acknowledgement that everything belongs to Hashem, and they show that by living to whatever degree they can under Hashem's standards. They don't steal. Or a person gives charity, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah. The moment the person is giving charity, they're acknowledging that it's not mine. I don't own everything. Because if I owned everything, and if my objective was me, myself, and I, if what I'm worshiping is I, and I'm trying to build up my personal kingdom, then it wouldn't make any sense in the world for me to take away from me and give to someone else. Whereas the fact that I'm giving to someone else shows that I acknowledge that it's not mine. That again, all money, all of my possessions come from Hashem. And Hashem has prescribed a formula that works. Hashem said, if you take 90% for yourself and you give 10% to the poor people, giving away that 10% will ensure that the 90% has a blessing to it, that it's good, that it's holy, it's positive, and you won't have to use it for medical bills or for terrible things. The money will have a blessing to it. And if you don't, chas v'shalom, the Torah says, just as an example, Hashem says, if you refuse that partnership, then we'll do a role reversal. You'll become the Kohen, you'll be left with the 10%, and Hashem says, I'll take the 90%. You'll lose your wealth, you'll be unsuccessful in Parnosa, and you'll find that unfortunately you end up having a tenth of what you had previously. Because Hashem, you weren't agreeable to the type of relationship that Hashem prescribed, the 90-10, so Hashem reverses it, makes it 10-90. And this is just an example whereby Rabbeinu Zal shows us in this story here that this Chacham, who was obviously serious believer in Hashem. The whole reason why they left that country was because they wanted to maintain their solid faith in Hashem. Because the Emunah was Bishlemus, there was no chance at all. They didn't have to fear the Shadim in any way, and the Shadim couldn't harm them in any way. And now Rabbeinu Zal continues in telling the story that once the king saw all of this, once the king of the Shadim saw that this Chacham was obviously 100% in his faith in Hashem, in his purity, now he's the king of the Shadim said to the Chacham, because I see that you're such a person, I'm going to give you a book that documents all the families of the Shadim. Because we know that there are some magicians, some Kabbalists, that know some families of Shadim. They know a particular family. And by knowing the family, by knowing the names of the family of the Shadim, they have the ability to protect themselves, to shield themselves from being harmed by that particular family of Shadim. And some of them, even if they know a family, they don't know the entire family necessarily. Whereas I'm going to give you a book that documents all the families of the Shadim. Because the king obviously is the one who has these records. And the moment a new child is born among the Shadim, they document it. You know, it's put into the chronicles and the statistics, and he keeps track of it. So now the king of the Shadim sent his assistant. You remember, the Chacham had allowed him to have one assistant, one minister accompany him. Now the king of the Shadim said, I'll send this associate of mine to go bring that book. And Rabbeinu Zal comments, so we see that it was obviously very good that the Chacham allowed him to have one with him, one associate with him, Because if not, who would the king have sent to go bring this book? Interestingly, the Gemara tells us, Ezehu Chacham Haroya Es Hanoilad, that the Torah's definition of a wise person is not one who sees and understands what's in front of him, but rather it's one who sees ahead. A Chacham is one who can look ahead and predict, or based on his level of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, understand what's going to happen in the future, and based on that, be able to prepare in the present for whatever circumstances they know are going to be coming up in the future. Sure enough, this messenger that was sent returned with this book, and they opened the book, and they saw written in this book thousands and tens of thousands of families of these Shadim, the yellow pages, the white pages. And the king of these Shadim promised this Chacham, with his authority as king of the Shadim, that they would never do any harm whatsoever to this Chacham and his family. And the king requested that this Chacham bring pictures of all members of his family, and even if a new family member would be born, they would bring a picture of that new family member in order that the Shadim will all be informed and notified not to do any harm whatsoever to any member of this of the family of this Chacham. Now Rabbi Nezal relates that when it came time for this Chacham to pass away, he gathered his family and he gave them his last will and testament, and he said to them, I'm leaving you this book that I received from this king of the Shadim. As you've seen, he said to his family members, I had the ability to use this book. I could have used this book in a proper manner with holiness. And despite that, I never made use of it at all whatsoever. Because we know that malachim, the term malach, angel, also means a messenger. We know the Torah tells us that Hashem uses angels as his messengers to do things, to perform certain activities on behalf of Hashem. There are cases in the Torah where there were great tzaddikim who were able to utilize angels or shadim to assist them in certain projects. There's a very famous case in the Gemara in Tmura, I believe, where the Gemara says that at one point in time, the Roman king had issued a decree against the Jewish people that they weren't permitted to study Torah and other things. And the Jews decided to try to send one of their leaders to see what could be done to undo this decree. And the one who was chosen for this mission was the one and only the great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. And the Gemara says he chose someone to accompany with him. At first, the rabbis were afraid to accompany him because they said, we know you. You're so great at tzaddik that if we do the slightest thing off and you'll get angry with us in a moment, we'll be gone. So therefore, they were first afraid to accompany him. And then at one point, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal gave his word to a particular rabbi that he won't hurt him in any way. So this rabbi agreed to accompany him. They set out to Rome. And on the way, they saw one of the Shadim coming out to greet them. And this Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who was able to see the Shad, asked, what are you doing? And the Shad said, I'm coming to help you. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal broke out crying, saying, look what things have come to. The Torah tells us that Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, when she needed help, Hashem sent an angel to help her. And here, because it's a couple of generations later, we have to have a shade come and help us? Because don't forget, an angel usually represents an item of holiness. Shadim, on the other hand, generally come from the side of evil. However, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said, but in any case, if you're being sent to help us, then so be it. And the Gemara relates how this Shade entered into the body of the princess, the daughter of the Roman emperor, and caused her to hallucinate, caused her to act in a very unbecoming way. And they tried to have medical doctors heal her and other healers. Nobody was able to do anything. And it was only when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal arrived there, he was told what was going on and he realized what had happened. And sure enough, when he approached and the king had said, whoever is able to cure the princess, they'll be granted any wish they want. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal, as soon as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal approached, this shed that had gone inside this princess spoke up and said, if you want, I'll leave. And sure enough, this shed left. The princess was healed. The emperor offered Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal anything he wanted. He said, go into my treasury, take whatever you like. And sure enough, he went in there and he took the decree that had been signed and sealed, this decree against the Jewish people that they weren't allowed to study Torah, and he tore it to shreds. So here we see an example where in a particular situation, one of the Shadim was used to help the Jewish people. But generally, we said, they represent a negative force. So here, this Chacham said to his family, you've seen that despite the fact that I had this book available to me, and I could have used it, I chose not to at all whatsoever. But rather, I have only my faith in Hashem. I rely on my faith in Hashem and praying to Hashem. Faith means tefillah. Rabbi Nachman brings this many times in Likut Imran, that when the Torah mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, it says, Vayhi Yodov Emuna. His hands were outstretched in faith. And the Targum on that sentence says, his hands were outstretched in prayer. So the Chacham said, despite the fact that I could have used this book, I could have used the Shadim to do whatever I wanted, to bring me money to do, I chose never to, but rather I chose only faith in Hashem and praying to Hashem. Therefore, my advice to you also now that I'm about to pass away, is that you follow my path. And even if there will be one among you who's capable, who's qualified to use this book and to be able to utilize these Shadim, my advice is, don't do it, but rather stick to pure, simple faith in Hashem and prayer to Hashem. And then this Chacham passed away. This book was passed on to his children and eventually came to one of his grandchildren. And this grandchild was obviously a righteous person who would have been capable of knowing how to use this book properly, Bigdusha. However, he chose the advice to follow the advice of his grandfather and to stick to faith and prayer. Now, we mentioned earlier that among the Shadim, there are these medabrim, there are these instigators. One of the things that these Shadim like to do is instigate trouble, problems. So what happened was, some of these Shadim, these medabrim, tried to instigate and incite this grandson of the original Chacham, who had this book now, to use the book, because they, especially since he had daughters that were of marriageable age, and he couldn't support them, he was having a difficult time providing for them, so therefore, use this book. Use the Shadim, use your power of the Shadim to get them to bring you money, to do whatever you need. Now this grandson didn't realize that these messages were coming from these instigators, from these Shadim, who were trying to coerce him to use this book. He thought that these feelings are coming possibly from deep inside his heart, from a place of holiness, from his Yetzer Tov. So therefore, he decided to travel to the grave of his grandfather, the one who had originally received this book, and to seek guidance at his gravesite. And sure enough, he asked his grandfather, who was buried there, I know that you left in your will and testament, advised us not to use this book at all, but rather to have faith in Hashem and pray to Hashem. And right now my heart is telling me to use it. My question is, where are these feelings coming from the good side or the other side? And the response that he received was, despite the fact that you have the ability to use this bigdusha with holiness in a holy way, still, you're better off with faith in Hashem. You're better off praying to Hashem for what you need. And don't use the book. And Hashem will help you. And sure enough, this grandson accepted that completely. Now we're coming to the final portion of the story. One day, the king in that country in which this grandson of the original Chacham was living, the king took ill, and he brought in all kinds of medical doctors to heal him, and they couldn't. Because of the fact that there was tremendous heat, it was very intensely hot in the country where they lived, the medicines that they were used to using under normal circumstances could not affect the cure. So the king issued a decree that the Jews in his kingdom pray for him. Now, this one of the Shadim that's relating this whole final part of the story that we had says that our king, the king of the Shadim, because of the fact that this grandchild of the Chacham had this book and could have used it and chose never to use it, therefore, the king of the Shadim said to his constituents, let's go help this grandchild of the Chacham now. Because now he's in a problem situation. The king of the country has issued a command that the Jews pray that he be healed. And obviously, if he doesn't get the cure that he needs, he'll take it out on the Jews. So the king of the Shadim commanded me. This is the one of the Shadim who's a cloud, who's telling over how he became a cloud. Our king, the king of the Shadim, instructed me to become a cloud over this country in order that the king, the physical king there, should be able to be cured through the medications that they were trying to give him, which we said weren't being effective because of the great heat there. Now, this grandson of the Chacham who lived there didn't know anything about this at all. He didn't even know that this discussion had taken place among the Shadim, that the king of the Shadim had decided to help him, and that he gave a command for one of his Shadim to become a cloud. And this is how I became a cloud over this particular country. This is what this Shade is relating. Now, the Chiger, the cripple of our story, who had followed them and heard this entire story, came before the king. Because if you recall, we mentioned earlier, going way back in the story, that there was a whole incident that one of the Shadim, they had come to an island, a place of the Shadim, and there was a king who tried to build a settlement there, and they decided not to allow him because he's taking over our territory, so they caused him to become sick and in pain, and the king took a magician who was able to discover, grab hold of one of the Shadim who was causing this trouble and inflict tremendous pain and suffering on him and everything, and to cause him to be totally weakened. And now they came before the king, and because what happened was these Shadim had succeeded in taking away the physical strength from that king that was on that island completely. Now the king of the Shadim gave instructions for them to return the strength to that king that was on that island, to give him back his health and his strength. They did this. And then this child of the Shadim, who was being held captive, he was the one who caused all of this suffering to the king, was released and allowed to return to his parents. So sure enough, he came back extremely weakened by this whole experience because they had tortured him there tremendously, this magician who had captured him. And he was very, very angry. This one of the Shadim was extremely angry over what this magician had put him through. And therefore, he gave instructions to his children and to his family members that they should do whatever they could to try to harm that magician, the one that had caused all of this pain and suffering to him. Now, once again, among the Shadim, there are these instigators, there are these Medabrim, who are always going from one to the other, trying to make trouble, trying to instigate things. So some of these Shadim who are instigators went to the magician and told him, you better watch yourself, because you remember that shed that you had captured and inflicted all of this suffering on, his family is looking to get you. So this Mechashev did all kinds of tricks. He worked out all kinds of plans, and he summoned other magicians who knew different families of the Shadim in order to protect himself. Now, this Shed, who he had taken captive originally and tortured, got very angry about this, and he got angry at the fact that he knew that some of the Shadim had gone and told this magician all of this. So sure enough, he was extremely upset. One day, some family members of this family, of this Shed who had been tortured by the magicians, the ones who had caused the whole problem to that king on the island, was walking and came into contact with some of these Medabrim, those who had gone and told the magician, you know, to watch himself. And they were going together. They were both serving guard on behalf of the king of the Shadim at that time. So the family of this Shed who had been tortured and everything went and told the king, they snitched to the king, they made up a whole story about how those other Shadim, the ones who had gone and told the magician, watch yourself, how they had done certain terrible things. Sure enough, the king of the Shadim went and murdered all of those Medabrim, all of those instigators, the ones who had gone and told the magician, watch yourself because this particular Shed and his family want to harm you. Now those Medabrim, their families got upset, and they went and caused a revolt among the different kings of the Shadim, and a whole battle ensued, and a famine. They were struck, the Shadim were struck with famine and weakness, all kinds of sicknesses and plagues, and a major war broke out among them. And because of this war that broke out among them, there was an earthquake, the earth fell in, the tree was watered, and this wiped out the Shadim completely, completely, once and for all. Amen. And with this, the story is concluded. In the next session, we're going to elaborate, because at the end of this story, Rabbi Nachman quoted a chapter in Tehillim, the first chapter in Tehillim, and said that this chapter is a commentary of this story, explains many, many things in this story, not in full detail, but there are many connections that we can find between that first chapter in Tehillim and many aspects of this story. This will take up in the upcoming session.